j'adore.
Tombe comme la pluie sur le pot de moi. Sur le pot de moi. Sur le pot de moi. The rain falls. La pluie tombe. Oh, the rain falls. The rain falls. The rain falls. Oh, fall on me. Fall on me. Fall. Oh, fall on me. Fall on me.
Alors, we all know about how the rain falls on me. This, however, is Lily St. Anne. This is an older collection of music. She was here before. She is going to be at Bay City Arts Center tomorrow evening from 7 to 9 p.m. with an album release party for a brand new The Magician. Oh, I just love listening to her in French. Alors, ok. Bye, Lily. À la prochaine. There. This is Carol. Woo! And I'm going to speak to you in English. It's Arts Live and Local. And very glad to be here. Very glad to be alive, and glad you're here with me, with us on KMUN, your community radio station. And the word community, of course, stretches so far, so far. If only the concept of community stretched this far. This being the world, the country, and the world. We need to make some changes, big, fat changes, and we need to make them fast. Actually, my first guests are going to talk about that, but not quite yet, just let me wish Franz a very happy 90th birthday. And all the rest of you, if you're older than 90, call in right now and I will send your birthday wishes out. Otherwise, no, we are sending them to you via the airwaves. But without individual names, and why would that be? You think about it. Oh, you mean because I forgot to transfer birthdays from 2025 to 2026, starting in June. I'll back up next week just for you. I do have healing wishes, though, in addition to the whole world, which including me and probably you, desperately need to Ruth and to Hope and Gina, to Stephanie and Issa, to John and Gail and Peggy, Lulu, Janet, Noel, Luann, to Karen, Jean and Carl, and Tom, Steve, and also to Marietta, Riva, Lottie. So much healing needed in the world. And I think that's why you're here with me, for joy to replace the pain and to bring us thoughtful, entertaining, and yes, life-changing art. So my first guests are here from a brand new production that is officially opening tonight, although they had a special last night. And if you didn't know about it, you might want to check on the 1015 Theater website for future shows, because they sometimes have special night before pay what you like shows. But tonight's the official opening for The Taming. When I saw The Taming, I thought, boy, that sounds familiar. I'm going to let the director tell us how that connects. But The Taming opens tonight and runs through June 13th, written by Lauren Gunderson, sorry, in 2013. And there's a fabulous article in the Coast Weekend by our friend Patrick Webb, a theater buff and actor himself. And I really thought maybe this would start us off. It gave me some clarification. 1015 plague causes Constitution to unravel. That sounds maybe. So Laura noted in a blog post that she wrote the play to unpack the deep frustration of a divided and obstructionist patriarchy, to laugh with the painful truth about extremism on both sides, to toy with our country's history and wrestle with its foundational imperfections, and to make manifest a dream of reason and understanding prevailing in America. That's Lauren Gunderson. And I want to give her a big thank you for that, because she tells it a lot better than I can. I'm stuck on the frustration part. Also, well, she's talking about some of the characters, so I think I'm going to let my guests, Kate Lacaze, who is the director. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
Kate is on arts several times a year, but in all different capacities. And often she is the fearless director of the Astoria High School plays and does such a fabulous job. And the students love her, and that helps to do a fabulous job, too. Maybe I'll ask my actor whether she loves Kate, too. Or maybe I will. Oh, okay.
Very much.
Okay, good, because we don't want, you know, cause you to unravel here on air. My second guest is Autumn Phillips, and I think I read somewhere, Flaming Liberal, is that?
That's the character I'm playing, yeah.
Yes, the character, sorry. The character, what is your name? Your character name.
Bianca.
Bianca. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that. That didn't stick in my mind, the Flaming Liberal part did. But so, Kate, do you want to tell us... Let's start with the idea of The Taming and mm-hmm. the title of this play. Is it related to Shakespeare or?
Very loosely. I mean, so yes, you have Bianca, you have Catherine, and you have Patricia, which is to take on the Patrick character. So yeah, but I would say more so than like a adaptation or retelling, as Lauren had pointed out, it's about like the themes, I think, more of The Taming and kind of almost an inversion. I think she... thinks like, you know, the whole Taming of the Shrew is this idea of like taming a powerful woman and mm-hmm. putting her down. And really she's like celebrating the power of femininity. And also I think it's about like taming the government and getting it to work for us as it is supposed to.
As we supposed are still to. Hoping. That's why this play, folks, support this play and maybe it'll, you know, change the world for sure. Did you choose the play, or did someone?
Yeah, I did.
How were you familiar with it?
kind of just looking through some different shows. We're looking for a primarily female cast and kind of something smaller and really to fit into the theme of America the Beautiful. Of that is at the 10:15,
right.
And this one just kind of fit perfectly. It checked all those boxes, and it really is just a wonderful script. I mean, it's funny, but it's just very cleverly written. I describe it as sort of like a love letter to America. I mean, it's just celebrating her discursive foundations and that she, you know, was founded theoretically on compromise and reason and built for that, but also calling out some of the negative things that have been part of her history and that continue to strangle her potential.
And this is the character or Lauren, the writer?
Oh, this is just my take on it. Yeah, okay. On the show.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Autumn, it's now, I'm looking because I did see those words, but maybe that's not what, okay. Bleeding heart liberal. That's what it says. I took that as a flaming liberal, but bleeding heart. So, Autumn, how do you relate to this part? Was this the part that you would like to play, or did you just want to be in the play, or how did it come out for you?
Well, this is most definitely my favorite role okay. in the play. I think it's a lot of fun. It's very funny. It definitely aligns the most of my politics, although I'm probably a lot farther left than she is.
All right. Oh, excuse me. Yes.
But, I do relate to the character in a lot of respects, especially in the aspect of just really wanting to, like, seeing things that, like, no one else really is putting effort into caring about and being like, okay, well, I'm going to then. I relate to that a lot.
In life or in the play?
In
or
both.
Aha! I like it. So, when you came to auditions, I think it was for a different play. Is that how it worked out?
Yeah, that's true.
And so this sounds like it fits you perfectly if you're relating to the part of the bleeding heart liberal or the flaming liberal, perhaps, in your case. So, yeah. So tell us what happens. Give us an overview of the play. Cindy Fisher is the... she's the conservative.
Mm-hmm,
I can just see her.
She's excellent. I mean, our whole cast is really blessed with that. I mean, in a few words, I mean, you know, a liberal influencer, a conservative aide, and a Miss America pageant contestant all get locked in a room and have discussions about politics. And she's changed her platform to rewriting the Constitution. So she's eliciting the help of these two very different people in order to form a more perfect union. And so
how do they get locked in the room?
Well, she locks them in the room. That's part of her brilliant plan. Yeah.
I see. She who is going to change.
Yeah. She's like,
America.
You're going to help me one way or another.
Right. Does it work? Do we know? Does America get changed in this play? What do you think?
I think so. Yeah.
Maybe
you have to come and watch and see.
Well, I'm wondering about what you think the... I know Kate does a lot of theater. I don't know about Autumn. Have you done much theater?
I've done theater basically since 8th or 9th grade. Actually, I did. Kate directed, was my director at the high school
for
the longest time.
Very cool.
And I've done a few plays at the Opera Company, and I was most recently in What the Constitution Means to Me with the 10:15.
Aha. Okay. I remember. That was up at the McTavish Room.
Yes.
That was excellent. So why do you do theater?
I've always loved it. It started because my parents have always had a rule where we always have to be in one extracurricular activity in school.
Good for them.
So. Right. I spent the longest time just trying to find stuff that worked for me, and I didn't really like any of it until I tried theater one time, and I was like, it's just fun, and it's a fun creative outlet to really express yourself in different ways.
So do you think that it's changed you doing theater? Have you grown from it or learned from it? And the second part of the question is, do you think since you're a young person, I can ask you these for the future. Do you think that theater can change the minds of other people?
It's definitely, I do feel that it's impacted me a lot, just as a getting exposed to a bunch of different people and having to like work closely with people for a long period of time helps.
That's a good point.
Makes you branch out.
Even if you're not locked in a room, yeah. You still have to work.
Yeah. As far as for other people, I think it definitely can. If you're open to new ideas, theater can, like, plays can be a really interesting way to get exposed to new things. Like, I know just through watching different plays, I've learned a lot about different people in different parts of the world, and it's interesting.
Are you still in school?
I'm currently at the community college here.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay. Good for you. Okay. And you're still doing theater. So this is... Thank you, Kate. You know, that's... that. Well, seriously, because usually you come in with maybe 3, 4, 5 of the high school students, and very often they say that whether they go off to college or they stay here in this community, they do plan to. And I think that's a big part because you've... do you agree? Because you've helped to set the example of a human being who works a job. Mm-hmm. You actually have a professional job, and yet you spend a tremendous amount of time not just directing young people, but also acting yourself. Yeah. So theater is clearly an important part of your life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, let me ask you why. What does it do for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think theater is probably the great love of my life. I think, yeah, but I mean, just acting, I have found it to be just a vehicle for definitely expanding my world and my perspective and stepping into someone else's shoes. I mean, there's just something about being able to explore emotions and ideas in this very, like, kind of insulated space where it's very safe, but we're allowed to, like, think about things. You know, whether theater can, like, change minds, I think it definitely at least brings exposure and awareness to things that we should be thinking about, and then gives us that opportunity to sort of ruminate it on it ourselves. But for me, yeah, like, it just brings me so much joy, just the creative expression and, yeah, playing different parts, telling stories. And then from directing, you know, just getting to do that. I mean, I love especially working with the high schoolers just because I think that theater is transformative for young people, I think. Especially with everything that's happening technologically, just giving them a space to be themselves and to show up as they are and to be in the real world and interact with one another. And again, like just to feel things and to think things and then to work together to put on something for their community. I mean, I think those are all invaluable. So, yeah.
It's an interesting point you slipped in there because theater's been forever. But the technological aspect, the fact that you may learn your lines, I don't know. How'd you learn your lines?
I mostly learn them just through repeating it over and over again on stage is how I do it best.
Oh, so are you using a smartphone or something to read from?
No, we have physical books usually.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I've seen people use phones that or too. iPads for that as well. And
yeah. Right. But I love the idea of, you may use that at the beginning, but then you're off book at some point, and you are on stage, you're interacting with others, even in a monologue, you're interacting in so many ways. So that's an add-on. I hadn't thought about that. The time's changing.
Yeah.
Have made a difference, pull people out of... do you find that people are still as interested in doing theater?
I think that we want it. I mean, we see so much that's just curated and not real. I don't know. There's nothing that can replace live theater. I mean, I know this is not about this show, but just took my kids on a field trip to see like a play, and nothing replaces that. Us all being in a room together, laughing at something happening on stage. It is part of the human experience. Like, I think that is part of the human condition to want real, tangible experiences with one another in a real space.
And Autumn was shaking her head. Yes, in agreement. Mm-hmm. That's great. So tell us what we need to know, if anything, about the play, about your character, before somebody comes. You start out as a liberal? Do you end up as a liberal, or am I not allowed to ask that? We don't want to blow the cover, folks. We want you to be surprised, because I've never heard of this play before.
Mm-hmm. I think the characters, they definitely all learn something and grow throughout mm-hmm. the play, but I feel mm-hmm. I feel like all of them do still stay true to like who they are and their core of their identity.
Do they manage to work together?
Depends on the time. You know, it's a little bit back and forth.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking locked in the room. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that could be tough.
Well, one of the best scenes is like they have like sort of a flashback to when also the founding fathers were all locked in a room in Philadelphia. 1787, trying to decide and get this constitution thing passed. So it kind of like mirrors that in the same way. And
How does the fact that these are women instead of the men who did the Constitution, does that change the smiling over there? Has that changed how things come out?
No, not necessarily at that time. But I think it just calls attention to, I mean, even the founding fathers, we sort of glorify them in a way, and they were just humans who were also trying their best, and
we hope.
I think it just like puts the onus on us. Like, this is our country now. And so like, yes, the founding fathers were great in some ways and kind of awful in other ways. They gave us this nation, but now it's our job to take care of it and to make it what we want it to be.
Well, the photographs in the Coast Weekend show the three of you working together, except for one of them. Somebody looks kind of, but other than that, and doing your best, as you say, and an unusual mix of we the people. So opening tonight at the 1015 Theater, which of course is at 1015 Commercial in Astoria. That's just east of 10th Street on the south side of Commercial. And the show is at 7:30 Friday and Saturday, and 3:30 on Sunday. We gave up the 7:15 part, but we're still holding. And it will run through June 13th. Good to get your tickets online and have them either on your phone, or just they will have records of it when you walk in the door. If you haven't been to the 1015 Theater, that is an experience. Is this the first play that's being done there since the reopening?
Yeah, that is correct. So it's really exciting to be back in that space.
It really is. The building was hit and the theater had to close, along with several other businesses. So come and join my guests, Kate Lacaze, the director, Autumn Phillips, Bianca, the Bleeding Heart Liberal, also Holly Marsh, Catherine, who is Miss Georgia, and then Cindy Fisher, who is Patricia, the aide for the conservative senator. I'm very much looking forward to this show. And you break a leg, Autumn, and no leg breaking for you, Kate.
None for me.
Okay, thank you so much for coming in. Thanks for doing the play. Folks, don't miss this, and don't miss any of the wonderful arts. And the 1015 is a great place to see some things you won't see anywhere else. So, thanks.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay, you. Some music from David Francy here on KMUN Astoria and KTCB Tillamook Arts Live and Local. This is Carol.
But a bygone in a tree rustles like the fallen leaves. It's hung up there, an empty sack
can't go forward, can't go back. The constellations, streetlights glow, the firmament displayed below. And in the dark, the passing cars describe the arc of shooting stars. And someday it may finally fall. It might get lucky, so see me all. Shift of air, she's blown away to God knows where. And someday it may finally fall. It might get lucky, so see me all. And someday it may finally fall. It might get lucky, so see me all.
Yes, David Francy from his album, So Say We All. That was the piece. He's from Canada, and he's an extraordinary singer, songwriter, and someone like him, and many others make me sorry I don't have a music show anymore. But that's okay, because there are so many fabulous programmers here at KMUN who do have shows and play some extraordinary music, including from our locals. Well, somebody who used to have a show, and hopefully will again.
I will.
Good, is my guest. And that is Sean Davis.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here. I'm always happy to be here. I love your show and what you do.
Oh, thank you, Sean. Well, I'm excited because I had no idea. Sean just published, didn't
yeah.
this?
That's the June edition.
Oh.
see?
That's right. June. Oh, issue number. Hello. But I'm so captivated by the drawing that I forgot to read what it says. So please.
Ataraxia. I know people have a hard time with the name. I am so fascinated by words that don't sound like they mean, you know, and I just love words, you know, words like what my favorite word this week is buckle, because it means its own opposite meaning. You know, you can either buckle, be secure, or something will buckle in a crash or something. I love words like
nice.
That.
Nice. So what is
ataraxia? Means giving you a calm sense of sereneness.
Ooh.
But it's such a sharp word, you know.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like the word for beauty. It's the Latin word for beauty. Pulchritude.
Yes.
That is the ugliest word ever.
That doesn't right? sound very beautiful.
So I thought ataraxia. Yes. And I think also we need more ataraxia in our lives nowadays.
Oh boy,
especially.
Do we ever. although I'm sure nobody would ever figure out the meaning from the sound. Okay.
Yeah.
So the Ataraxia Quarterly, mm-hmm. stories, poems, and illustrations from Astoria, Oregon.
Yes, it's very Astoria-centric. Because I love this town so much. And the writers in it are from, a lot of them are from Rick's Open Mic, which is coming this Tuesday.
That's right.
And I'll be there. I turned, because, you know, it's all poetry and you only have 5 minutes. So I tried desperately to turn my story into a poem so you guys can come and see me fail badly.
Yeah, it's true. It has to be 5 minutes. So if you're reading prose, you get in the middle of a word like Adirac. And that's it.
They'll tell you. Florence will like, hey, get off. And it's so funny. But the other writers in there are from Stormy River Writers, which I used to teach a community class up at Clatsop. And I was just blown away by the amazing talent and the stories and experiences of the people that would take those classes. And that's the reason why I put this together, because I really wanted to showcase and show everybody else, like, these people they're so talented and they have such amazing stories, and that's why I put it together.
Did you put a call out, or did you speak to specific people and ask them?
Well, I spoke to specific people here. I didn't really put a call out, but it is kind of small. I'm going for a bigger one. But the next one, it's a quarterly, so every 3 years. So we're looking at September, and I'm having a guest editor do it for me because I wanted more female voices, and it's Vicky V. Lind. You know,
Of course. Yeah.
And so she's going to be the guest editor next time. And she's doing Right Around Astoria. Have you talked to her about that?
No.
Oh, it's great. So I was when I lived in Portland a long time ago, they had a program called Right Around Portland. And you'd go around and you write about Portland. So V is doing that here in Astoria. And I'm hoping that she'll use some of those stories for the next issue of Ataraxia.
Yeah, we have so many writers. And are you asking only for Astoria writers, or can they be beyond?
I gave it to V so she can decide what she wants to do. But as far as I'm concerned, no, it could be anybody from anywhere. I'd love to have visitors and like their view or their perspective of what it was like to be here in Astoria. You know, I've been here for 4.5 years now, and I'm still just blown away. Yeah. I go on my porch and the deer and the raccoons. I feel like a Disney princess. I'm out there and I love it. I love it.
Okay, now let's talk about the illustrations.
Yeah.
What's the story on you? Did you actually study English or writing or art or what?
Okay, so I spent 12 years in the military. I was in the infantry, and then I was also a military police officer. Then I went back into the infantry, and I went to war, and I got hurt, and I went down to New Orleans after Katrina. And I got out, and I was really having a hard time with post-traumatic stress. And one of the counselors from the vet center, she told me, like, you know, you're having a hard time because you can't be who you used to be. You can't be Sergeant Davis. What did you used to do? And I said, well, I used to write stories and draw. Mm. She's like, do that. And so art really helped save my life. It really did. It took me out of a really bad depression. And so I did go to art school. For a couple years, but then I dropped out to go back in the military, and I went to Iraq. And then the second time I got out, I used my GI Bill, and I got my master's degree in writing. So now I taught college all over the Pacific Northwest, and I also taught at the University of Massachusetts Boston at an amazing program called the William Joyner Institute for the Study of War and Social Consequence.
Oh, wow.
And it was founded by Vietnam vets, and it was just so great, and it helped so many people out, but unfortunately, budget cuts, and so it doesn't exist anymore.
But all the people who took part are out there in the world, at least.
And they're doing great things.
So was this your concept to begin with? You wanted to bring these stories together. You also wanted
I wanted to doodle
the
a little
art
bit.
So did you know you had a kind of a penchant for art? Because
since I was
it's
a
very
kid.
Sophisticated. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I grew up very, very poor, from the trailer parks of Central Oregon, and the cheapest toys you can get were crayons and paper or pencils and paper. And so my brothers and I would draw and write stories and perform stories. We'd get everybody from the trailer parks out and say, we're going to do a play. And then for 3 minutes, we were on stage, and then the rest of we just run into the woods and play. And they're like, what happened?
It worked.
So I love creating. But for this, I really think, and I wanted to talk about the AI part of it, because I think artificial intelligence and art, I think I always root for the artist first, obviously. But I also think that AI is a once in an era invention, and it's that type of bell that you can't unring, you know? So I wanted to see what it was like. Me as an artist, I'm colorblind. Oh. And so I simply asked the AI, I'm like, hey, can you color this for me? Mm-hmm. And it did take, I was surprised to find, it took some artistic license on one or two of them, changed greatly.
Oh.
And so I put them together as a tarot card. And so each one in the tarot cards, and there's like four or five of them in here, and we use them as prompts for the writers and said, hey, you know, what do you feel from here? So some of the poets wrote poems to each one of these cards, or some people would give me a story and I'd figure out which one it would fit mm-hmm. in better. And so, and that's kind of how it did. I was like really impressed by how it can, you know, use shading and color, but at the same time, I'm not going to do this again just because I really believe in human artists and also reading about what those data centers do to our environment. Yeah. So,
but also how rude that they changed some of the actual.
No, they made it better.
You asked.
I hate to admit it.
Yeah.
But okay. I think all, honestly, the best art, mm-hmm. human art, is because of its mistakes. You know, the mistakes is what makes it human.
You know, I have to, I just remembered as I'm looking through this that you've been on this show before for it's not completely, it's still storytelling.
Oh, yeah. It was the storytelling, the Moth North Coast thing. Storyteller.
Champion.
I won a couple trophies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was over at Diana Kirk's,
and I'm so grateful for her bringing me into that, you know, because we had known each other in Portland, and it was a really fun time, and we had a blast.
When you first came to town?
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah, because I happened to be there that night.
That was fun.
And it was very exciting. I forgot, because now I know you through so many other ways. Yeah. Okay, if somebody is excited saying, you mean this guy might actually publish something of mine?
Yeah.
How do they get in touch with you?
Oh, that's a great question.
Should they do?
Well, they can email me at sean@roguecell.org.
Okay.
That's S-E-A-N at rogue is R-O-G-U-E-C-E-L-L. org. That is a nonprofit that I started with another combat veteran who he was on your show.
Right, Brad
Peitzig.
Yeah.
Because he wrote a memoir. And it's a nonprofit that we have to try to reduce veteran suicide in rural Oregon.
Right.
But that's the best email to get a hold of me.
Okay.
I have a small publishing company, very, very tiny, Mountain River and Sea Productions.
Is there somewhere they can go online to find information about your stuff?
About Ataraxia? No. Yeah. And okay. I did that purposely.
Okay.
You can go to the Astoria Art Mart, the winner of the North Coast business of the year.
I saw that.
And they are holding it for me. And then, like I said, at Rick's Open Mic at Winecraft on Tuesday at 6.
And the Art Mart is right on 10th and Duane. It's where Astoria Visual Arts used to be.
And that crew, they're the best. Yeah. They really are just the best. And I'm so happy that they won that award.
Yeah,
and anything I can do to help them out, I'll do it.
Well, this is great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And it's beautiful. And it's tiny.
Yeah.
I can hold it. So if you want to talk to Sean, come to Winecraft this Tuesday for Rick's open poetry mic. You do not have to read anything. You can sit in the audience, as I usually do, and enjoy everyone else. Or you can bring something, 5-minute maximum. And then Sean will be there too, as will a whole bunch of people who are in the first quarterly.
Definitely, yeah. And I think they'll be reading from it, some of them at least.
That's great. Thank you so much for
coming in. Thank you so much for having me.
And good luck with this yet another project. So that's great. Okay.
Take care.
Bye. Okay, folks. I have one more set of guests. But first, thank you.
hot like a plantation on fire. Set ablaze by Buchmann, 100,000 slaves and those unafraid who heard through the wire. You inspired Denmark, Bessie, and Nat Turner. Countless rebellions with machetes and burners. Maroons armed in their own farms with guerrilla charm, chopping up arms of slave masters. And all sell out sound the alarms because they had to. Black pearl, unfurl your flag of hope. Black pearl, white fang still clutch your throat. Black pearl, you inspired the world. Black pearl, you're still a black pearl to me. Eh, bomba, kango, bafio te, kanga, mundele, kanga, doki, la, kanga, li, sapase, nambule, liberté, Haiti, Haiti, Haiti.
Sapase, saka,
that's Sakpase from Haiti, one of the many countries where we are sending hopes for resolution, healing, peace from a fabulous album, Break the Chains. Musical mobilization campaign. Well, I've got two brand new people, brand new to me. They're not actually that new. They're kind of, they're not as old as I am, not even close, but they aren't as young as my earlier guest. So you've probably seen the posters or read about it. The St. Helens show is coming to town, and that is tomorrow evening at the Bridgewater Bistro upstairs.
In the loft.
Well, is it? The loft is actually next door. Is it in the restaurant upstairs?
No,
it is in the loft.
Actually, the wedding venue loft.
The wedding venue. Okay. That I was confused by that. That's a gorgeous space.
Yes.
Yes. Good for you. And seat slots, and it's got great view, too. So if you feel like you need reverie from the fabulous music that they're giving you.
Yes,
you
can ticket just, discounts going on right now. Two-thirds off. So, tickets.
Okay. Well, we don't give prices here, but tell us what the website is so people can go and see about it and or get tickets or whatever.
So the website is sthelensshow.com.
Okay.
So that's spelled out sthelensshow.com.
Right.
And just type that in and everything from there. Just go to events and you can find tickets to the show.
Easy, easy peasy. So that is the voice of the effervescent Danny Sternadel, who's also a.k.a. Riverboat Danny. I don't know why he's going to tell us. I know he's a piano player because I've seen pictures of him playing piano. That's all I know. So, except that Danny is a very perseverant person. I don't even know if that's a real word. But
I like it, and I'm honored that you've bestowed that upon me.
Oh, good, good.
So, in short, I'm Riverboat Danny. I've been playing the piano at Bridgewater one weekend a month for the last 10 years.
No way.
Yes way. And the way
goodness.
It started, just real briefly, is I was taking my boat, and I stopped in the Astoria Harbor and went in and had dinner and asked Tony and Ann, the old owners, I said, hey, if I play the piano, will you feed me dinner? And they said, well, maybe.
Depends if you're
It depends.
Any good.
I play the piano, and they said, when you coming back? And I've been going for 10 years.
And now we have new owners, and they took you right back.
They
that
took
is,
me right back,
That's a good story.
It's a fun
that's
story.
That's a good model, too, for other people in case, if you're looking for a good dinner and you have a skill that's marketable. My other guest, whom I've never had any connection to, is Bob Salisbury.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and Bob is apparently the writer of the, and I'm not sure, of the whole show or of the music for the show?
Of the entire show.
Of the entire show, mm-hmm. Perfect. Then you're the man who's going to tell us, what is the St. Helens show?
Sure. It is live musical storytelling. It is music, history, and fun. All in one. It's really just a really fun evening. And what we do is we have these skits with actors, and then we have a band playing music. And what we expect people to do is laugh together. We're going to sing together.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to remember history together, so which is very important.
Okay, so I have two of the musicians in the room now, folks, and there are only two people in the room, so you know that Bob and Danny are both part of the band. along with Sean and Aaron.
Yes.
Where do you folks live?
St. Helens.
You do live in, that's yes. why it's called. Okay. Are you an historian? In addition to being a musician, what prompted this?
Well, I would say Bob is an historian. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, I've always been interested in history, and I've been the Yankton Grange lecturer for the last 17 years.
Oh,
so
I've
given over 200 lectures through that thing.
Wait a second. Yanked in?
Yankton, like Yankeetown.
Oh, okay.
Yankton. It's outside of St. Helens.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were saying when somebody didn't show up, they yanked you in.
Oh, nice. I got yanked in.
Okay, yeah.
I thought we did.
I thought yanked
one.
In.
I'm going to remember that one.
No, I'm serious.
But what happened was we were preparing to play a music festival. We have a band that's also playing Saturday night called Lounge Against Machine. So what's going to happen is if you come, you're going to see the St. Helens Show musical. And then your same ticket gets you into Lounge Against Machine, which is all like lounge music and jazz standards. And
where is that going to be?
Same place.
Oh, wow.
So it's
lovely.
A big night of music for
yes.
$15, basically.
Well, we don't say that. But,
yeah, I didn't say that.
But it's cheap.
Okay. Anyway, we were preparing for this music festival, and I started looking into the history of St. Helens and just found it fascinating. Everything that I found just really grabbed me. And it was just like the words and the music just gushed out of me, basically,
so
over the course of several months.
You weren't born in St. Helens?
No.
Okay. But you've lived there for a while?
Yes. I've been there for over 20 years, 25
okay.
years. Yeah.
Can you give me an example, three examples of, we don't need the whole incident because we're going to see that in the play, but an incident that inspired a song or a song that got you to inquire about something?
Sure,
like
sure.
That.
We have a song called O. Henry, and it's a really fun, upbeat song, but it's about Henry Knighton, who was the founder of St. Helens.
Hmm.
And it turned out that this guy came across the Oregon Trail in 1845, owned the City Hotel in Oregon City, where he lived with his wife and two young kids, was the sergeant at arms for the first Oregon Territorial Legislature,
ooh.
Became the U.S. Marshal for the Oregon Territory, for the whole territory.
Well, when are we talking?
1847.
1847. Okay.
Meanwhile, decides with all those jobs that he wants to go found this town of St. Helens. So he go, which is, you know, it's closer by river, but it's probably a 6-day walk to get there back then. And he goes there, he gets a 640-acre land claim, tries to make the town happen, and fails.
Uh-oh.
It does not happen.
Uh-oh.
So it was a failure. But that part of it was really interesting to me,
mm-hmm.
that there was this great story, and yet this guy failed at it, you know?
But
so
somebody else
example.
Must have succeeded. Okay.
They did. Yeah.
Go ahead.
They later succeeded, but he couldn't get the railroad to come, basically, was the story there.
Yeah.
The first song of the musical is about your local Chinook chief, Kunkumli,
mm-hmm.
you know, who lived across Baker Bay and that area. And this guy, his story really grabbed me. In fact, I'm wearing a Kunkumli pendant right now.
Mm.
But he had, he was a legendary chief in the Lower Columbia region, you know, very powerful, great trader, was here at the time of Lewis and Clark, you know, so basically late 1700s to about 1830. And he had lost one eye as a child. So what really grabbed me was this idea that he had one eye to see the world as it is and one eye to see the world as it could be.
Mm,
you know?
Nice.
And that was very powerful to me.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so going back, you've been writing songs for a long time?
Yes, but not like this.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
What were most of your songs like? And what is the style? Is it folky? Is it jazz?
It's folky, upbeat, I would say.
Okay.
Is the style of this music. There's maybe one song that's a little harder edged, but most of it is really very digestible and fun for people to hear the stories,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
which is what this is meant to be.
And fun is the operative word.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a fun show to be a part of and to experience.
Sounds
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
So what kind of music were you writing before?
No
fun.
No fun. No, all fun. Otherwise, why do it, right?
Yeah. There you go.
But no, I've just played in a lot of bands.
What do you play, by the way?
Guitar.
Your guitar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Danny is piano.
Piano.
And
yeah.
what about Sean and Aaron?
Sean Pete Clark is on drums and Aaron Smirley is on bass.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long have you four or parts of you been playing together?
Oh,
I'm curious about how Bob's going to answer this one.
Okay.
I've been playing for a long time in bands with Sean. We played in a band called Acoustic Flash Mob, which was kind of a thing in down in Columbia County way. Mm-hmm. But then it was really at all. And then Aaron Smurl was in that band. But then in 2025, we found them hanging around on the side of a riverboat somewhere.
There you go.
That was pretty much it, yeah.
And so that joined up, became this lounge band, this Lounge Against the Machine. And while that was happening, I had this creative explosion and created the St. Helens Show. Mm-hmm.
Is this your first show that you've put together?
Yes. And I've written a second one now since, actually.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So it was satisfying to be able to combine music and a story.
Absolutely.
With a full storyline.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Sounds great. How long is the St. Helens show?
The actual show itself lasts about an hour and 25 minutes.
Okay.
So tomorrow night's show will be from 6 to 7:30-ish. And as you know, it's a beautiful venue. The bars open upstairs. They're going to have a menu of appetizers that you can get and enjoy the show. The seating will be somewhat classroom style and somewhat just sit in nice, comfortable chairs. Mm-hmm. So it's meant to be a very casual, collaborative environment.
This is new as a venue, this space.
Yes.
Although for many years, I've gone to concerts there for the tenor guitar gathering, and they worked out very well. Unfortunately, that didn't happen this year, so it's nice that they picked that up to use as a venue, not just for you, but others as well.
Right. So. That is one of the intents of the new owner, is to start opening that venue up to the local mm-hmm. community.
Nice.
And this is a good start for that.
You know, I think I'm confusing things. We were in the restaurant upstairs. You're in the beautiful loft.
Right, right.
Yeah, the
beautiful
loft.
Space.
Folks, it's right. It's the same building. It's the old red building.
The old red
but
building.
It's the western part, the fancy part.
Right.
And there is an elevator to get upstairs.
Yes, there is.
So,
Carol, I was going to say, I also wrote a song about Astoria.
What'd you write about Astoria?
I call it Fur and Freedom. It's about the fur trade. Fort Astoria.
F-U-R.
F-U-R.
As opposed to the fir trees, F-I-R.
Yes.
Okay.
But it was the songs, when they grabbed me, this one was kind of the realization that to be a mountain man back then, you know, besides the fact that they're doing all the work and the money's going east to the rich men back east, that whole angle, that I felt like there had to be almost a mental health component to go out in the mountains and live alone for years on end, you know? So we really kind of explore that aspect along with the song.
Where did you do your research? Online mostly? Or mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 Okay. I mean, some books, mm-hmm. but mostly online, I would say. Yeah.
Did you, I think you talked to our Chinookian Indian
yes. mm-hmm.
Chief
yep.
or mm-hmm. tribal leader. So it's the history of the Pacific Northwest, this part of the Route 30. Instead of everything being I-5, this is...
Yeah,
exactly. The Columbia River is the commonality,
nice.
The thread.
Yeah. Nice.
It's mostly the story of St. Helens, but it really applies anywhere.
Right.
As I've been saying, you know, people having to go through hard and uncertain times
mm-hmm.
and figuring out how to get through it together,
right.
you know, that's really what it's about.
Universal, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so folks, tomorrow evening... Does the door open at 6 or it begins at 6?
So doors at 5.
The door opens at 5. The bar is open, and there will be a waitress up there taking orders for your appetizers, and you can get drinks.
It's upside down. You remind me of a president. There we go. Bridgewater Bistro Loft. May 30th at 6 p.m. it starts. So be there before that, and then... some nice graphics there. Tomorrow evening, that's Saturday, and there's so much going on around here, but this is a first of its kind in George. The neighborhood. And we have two tickets, they are giving away two tickets. If you are interested, give a call right now, 503-325-0010. I bet you knew that number. Bruce will take your call, take your name and number, and We'll get back to you, let you know how you can pick up the tickets or what to do. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Well,
thanks
so much
thank
for
you.
Coming in.
We'll see you guys tomorrow night.
And my guests, Bob Salisbury, writer of the St. Helens Show, and Riverboat Danny Sternadel, the producer of the St. Helens Show. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Karen.
A couple of quick things going on. Of course, you got the 10:15 Theater opens tonight, 7:30. Coaster, last weekend for Bloomsday at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. Pat Harrison is being remembered tonight at the Royal Nebraker Gallery in a reception. That's at 6. The Ceramics Club, well, you missed it for today, but tomorrow, 10 to 4, is at the Royal Nebraker Gallery. They're having a sale. And the Sou'wester is featuring Iris Sullivan Dare, our own former programmer, at the Art Trailer with Solar Pink. And it looks like a great show. Also, Tillamook Association for the Performing Arts is opening Miracle Worker. And there's so much more happening on Sunday. The Jan and John Niebuhrke Memorial Garden is being dedicated at Peace First. John Goff, our own programmer, is going to be giving a bagpipe concert at the gardens right there. And don't forget Rick's Mike and Xanadu and lots of stuff going on. Thanks for being here, folks. And this is KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5. KMUN.org.
Support for KMUN programming comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.